Hey, church. How are you? You good? Hey, let's give the worship team a bout of a hoot. Come on. You know, before you take your seats, when we were worshiping, I mean, I'm like Andrew, I can just get, okay, take your seats. it's going to be a funny morning. I'm a little bit like Andrew, just get caught in worship really quickly, and you kind of forget, you know, time, and that's a good thing sometimes. But just this morning, I just felt the Lord just saying to our church, don't get tired in doing good. Don't get tired, church. Don't get tired in doing good. You know, it's become an annual thing now that we do hampers. But you know what? This year we wanted to do something quite special with them. So we decided to do only a little bit, but with a lot of quality and a lot of love. And it takes a bit to organize and all that kind of stuff. But you know, as the church, outside of these four walls, in your world, you do good wherever you are. And God's put you there to do good, not to do bad. Come on. You're not to do bad in your area that you're in. You'll be to be a good neighbor, a good student, a good steward, and a great ambassador of God. Amen? Amen? So, you know, do good. We're doing good. The church on earth is doing good. The church on earth is also going through a massive shift at the moment. We can feel that in the spirit. And we're just excited about 2015 and excited about what He's about in this church and church globally. So just watch the space. Don't get tired. Don't get tired. Don't slacken off, but rather get renewed and fresh anointing. And just take advantage of the Christmas break that you guys are going on and be safe. So there you go. There's someone. Do good. All right, church? Say it. I'm going to do good. Hey, why don't you turn your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. Amen? 2 Chronicles. I really enjoy preaching from the Old Testament. One of the reasons being is that when I was little, I actually didn't know any nursery rhymes, or very few, or bedtime stories. It's only because my mother never taught me them or said that to me. Not that if your mother did that was bad. I'm saying that right now. But I actually never. So my parents used to put us to sleep with all these battles and heavy bad battles that God used to, you know, beat people up and kill them. And so I know more about the Old Testament and then about stuff like, and this was one of the stories that I just really, really enjoyed when I was young. But just want you guys just to check this out. So it's 2 Chronicles chapter 20. You there? Okay, awesome. I heard on just while everyone's getting there, I heard that the youth on Friday night was totally off the chart. I heard that, and I heard that from a number of people. And just, you know, don't get tired doing good, you guys. Doing really, really well. All right, so this is chapter 20. And then it goes, and it happened after this that the people of Moab with the people of Ammon and the others with them besides the Amorites came to battle against Jehoshaphat. And then some came and told Jehoshaphat, saying, a great multitude is coming against you from beyond the sea, from Syria, and then they are now at Tamar. In verse 3, and Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask him from the Lord, help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah, and they came to seek the Lord. Then Jehoshaphat stood in the assemblies of Judah and Jerusalem and in the house of the Lord before the new court. Just jump to verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord, verse 15, and then he said, listen, all you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus saith the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but it's God's. Amen? We can just go home now, can't we? have a coffee and make those hampers. Verse 16, and then he says, tomorrow go down against them, and they will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz, and you will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jurel. Verse 17, and you will not need to fight in this battle, but position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord who was with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord is with you. Take that on, Bay City. Take that word on. And it says in verse 2, it says that, and he was afraid and he feared. And you know, just right then, Jehoshaphat got some bad news. And the news was what was that there was a great multitude coming against them. It was coming from the sea, they were coming from the wilderness, they were coming everywhere, they were coming against him. And that was really, really shocking news. And how do you, and we know that when we hear bad news and we're bombarded with bad news, if you turn the news on 7 o'clock in the morning, guess what you're going to get? Bad news. So don't turn your news on. You hear me, church? Do not turn the TV on. Go for a walk and read your Bible. Some good news. You're going to be bombarded with bad news. You're going to be bombarded with just things throughout our lives and throughout our week and throughout our day and all that kind of. We're going to be bombarded with bad news about our family, about diseases, about unemployment, about stuff in relationships, stuff in the church. Bad news is coming through. And his first response when he heard the bad news was to what? Fear. And if he feared, I tell you what, I think it's actually quite a human response. I mean, if someone said to me one of my kids was dying, I mean, I wouldn't kind of jump up and down and yeah? I would be despondent. I would be in fear. So that's okay to actually be in fear, I believe. Because that's human, because we're human. Because if we don't fear, we don't feel those crushing blows and those challenges, you know, we won't be able to rely on God. Because he's already, you know, because then we can fix it. And I love what he did. And he says like this. And what does it say after that? And he feared. And then he sought God. And then he sought him straight after that. And you know what? I just feel, you know, there's a, when I was preparing this word, I just felt God just telling me to encourage his church this morning. Just to encourage his church. And I loved it how he actually did that. In verse 17, go to 17. And this is the response that God gave. And God gave this response in verse 17. And you will not need to fight in this battle. But this is what God says. But position yourself. Stand still. I mean, I find that really tricky. Someone else? I mean, I find that really hard. I find that hard to even say it. Stand still on up here. Yeah, but God says, over here, God says three things. Position yourself, stand still, and watch the fireworks, and watch my salvation. That's what he says. And you know, sometimes when we're waiting, you know, sometimes it's hard to wait. And you know, it's like waiting for an elevator. You know, when you're standing in a hallway and you've got around three elevators on one side and three on the other side, and you push the button and you're waiting for your elevator, and you don't know which one it's going to come, but you know it's going to come, huh? You know the elevator's going to come and there's going to be a ding, and then what do? You turn around to see which door it is that you walk into. Very similar to God's word. You wait. You be patient. You position yourself. And so what he said... What he said here, bless you. What he said here was wait. Position yourself. Help is on the way. It's coming. You know, just to do the hampers, we started to have a look at the food that was going into it, and we just thought, you know what, we just need more food. We just want to put more in. So just the other day, I went down to Aldi down in Rockdale. And put the order in. There was a New Zealand lady, lovely lady. And I said to her, you must be the manager. And she said, yes, I am. And I said, that's awesome. And then I said, I need to order a lot of stock I need to take out nearly 400 pieces of stock. And she said, you know what, I'm going to order it for you today. She said, what's it for? And I says, it's for hampers that we do, and we give them to people in the community. So the following day, she gives me a call, and she says to me, your stock's ready. So I go down there, and I say to her, look, am I able to run through the dock, pay the money? And she said, you know what? I've paid it for you. Not the company, Aldi. This one person paid. Give the Lord a hand. Give the Lord a hand. So I want you guys to go shop down Aldi Rockdale now. Make sure you do that. Say hello to Karma, is her name. And she gave in, and I said, you know, and I was just like emotional. And my guys were waiting for me in the van. And I was hugging her. And I says to her, why did you do it? Why did you pay? You know, she doesn't know us. I said, why'd you pay? And she said, you know, because you guys do good. And that's when I really got that word in my gut. Don't get tired in doing good, because help is coming from people most unexpected. Amen? Come on, let's give the Lord a hand. So what I'm saying this morning, and we're going to flip to another verse, and just flip over to Psalms 121. So don't get tired. Just position yourself what God said. Just wait and just watch. Amen? We needed stock. We asked God. We waited silently. That was hard. We waited silently. And then it came through. Amen. And that was only for our hampers. Can you imagine what he's going to do in your life? What he's going to do in your life. More significant stuff out there in community. Psalms 121. I love this verse. Are you guys there? And it says this. And I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? Amen. For my help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and who made earth. You know, this particular psalm was actually one of 15 songs of degree. And it wasn't actually, and what they would do is that the pilgrims that would walk into to Jerusalem, what they would do, they would start reciting these things. So on their way walking, they would be reciting. And who was the actual original author of this particular verse, this chapter, this psalm, was actually one of the exiles that got taken out of Jerusalem and taken to Babylon. And in Babylon, it was a desert place. They were desert people. And it was a flat plains. Not like Jerusalem. Jerusalem was a place of hills and of mountains. And the exiles would go to this place in total mayhem. They've been kidnapped, taken. Like that movie, Taken. They were taken. And it was just a mess out there. And then they had people. They didn't know their language. They didn't know what they ate different foods. They spoke different. They were given different names, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego. All different levels. This town, this city, Babylon, was totally, totally different to what these guys were about. And yet in their hearts, they were actually seeking the place of the hill, because that's where Jerusalem was. And when Daniel prayed in Daniel 6, verse 10, it says that, and Daniel closed the door and he opened the windows towards Jerusalem. And he prayed, because the hills reminded them of what they knew. And what they knew was that was where their father was. It was where God was. And, you know, it's familiar to them. You know, I just went back to New Zealand in July. I went back for a couple of weeks. And during that trip, I decided to do a little bit of nostalgia, going back in time. And so I caught a coach from Rotorua to a place called Gisborne. That's where I'm born. Whoa. And Jack went up to Auckland. And Jack said, look, why don't you just fly? And I said, no. I want to catch a coach, because I want to go through all the places I used to go when I was little, yeah? I wanted to go through the gorges. I wanted to go Waiweka Gorge. I wanted to go through the gorge. I wanted to see the waterfalls. I wanted to do all that, the lush green. And this is everything I remembered when I was little. A few years ago, quite a few years ago. So I get on the coach in Rotorua, say goodbye to my husband and my daughter, and just excited about going there in my mind and all that kind of stuff. And in the gorge, that's where I learned how to swim. My father threw a pot into the water and we dived in after it. It's not the right way to teach a kid now, yeah? That would be WHS, I think. And that was, you know, these were the memories I wanted to relive. And so I get on the coach, and within 2 hours of the trip, I actually got car sick. I don't travel well at all. I actually sleep well, but I don't travel well. And so we're kind of going along. And I tell you, we went through the gorges, and we saw the beautiful stuff. And, you know, it had all changed. It wasn't the same. There was actually road changes, and there were over the years and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, the place that I knew, the place that I remembered in my head and in my heart was still there, regardless what it looks like on the outside. And, you know, when the exiles went to Babylon, all they could remember what was in their heart. All they could remember was the hills. Yet everything around them was plains and desert. And what I'm saying, church, today, to you, every single heart that's here, is that regardless what spot you're in of the Babylon, as long as you remember what's in your heart, as long as you know what's here and the things that you know to be true about our Lord Jesus Christ, that's all we need to remember. And in this verse, it goes like this, and I love this verse, and it says this, and these are the guys that are in total, they've been taken, it's not their land. Their names have been changed. They've got to eat different food, all this kind of stuff. And in it, they go like this, and I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From where comes my help? For my help comes in, come on, my help comes in the name of the Lord. They couldn't see it. They couldn't see the hills with their visual eyes, but they saw the hills with their heart. And that heart reminded them, those hills reminded them of God, Yahweh. And when we are in positions when it's full-on chaos, I tell you, church, and I want to encourage you this morning, don't allow that to dictate your heart. Don't allow it to dictate your heart. If you're looking for work, don't allow that to dictate your heart. But instead, press into God. Press into God. Amen? You know, if you've got relationship breakdown, if your financial stuff, if you're waiting for clarity about stuff and vision and all that, you know what? Don't allow what you see to dictate your heart. But push. Push into God. Push into God. And it says this. And then it says, I just love it, that during all their mayhem, during all their stuff, God came through. You know, and I'm going to finish. So, Davey, you can come up. I want you to go back to 2 Chronicles. Go back to 2 Chronicles. And go to verse 21. And it goes like this. So this is the morning of the battle. And it goes, and when he had consulted with the people, he anointed those who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness. And as they went out before the army and were saying, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. Now when they began to sing and praise, that's when the Lord moved. Guys, see that? When you worship, when you praise, that's what moves God. It says so. It says so. And it says, and when they said, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever, and when they began to sing, and when they began to praise, the Lord set ambush against the people of Ammon, Moab, Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were all defeated. Let me just keep going. Verse 23. This is your God, church. This is our God. This is our dad. He's amazing. He fights for us. He fights for us. In verse 23, and for the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. It's weird. They turned, the enemy turned on itself. That's God for you, eh? It's crazy. He's crazy. In verse 24, and it goes, so when Judah came to the place that overlooked the wilderness, because a couple of verses before, God said, do go have a look. Do go down there. And so they did. They went down there to a place that overlooking the wilderness, and they looked towards the multitude, and there were dead bodies on the earth, and no one had escaped. Wow. You know what this says to me? Position yourself. And how we position ourselves is that when we fear or when we feel overwhelmed, give it to God. Give it to God. Position yourself that He loves you. And the second thing He says, and be quiet. Shh. Be still. Don't be cluttered. And then the third thing He says, according to my Bible, is that salvation will come. Salvation will come. And you know what, church? I didn't preach too long because I want to see what the Holy Spirit does. Whatever the circumstances, we do not disregard it whatsoever. Whatever the circumstance you're going through, I just want you to take that stuff to heart. Position, stand still, and watch. Do that. And you just watch your answers of prayer come through. Let me just tell you a story, and then we're gonna see what happens in the service. As you know, Jack's actually not working for the church anymore, and we're still very, very much a big part of the church. Nothing's changed there, but we've decided to. So he's going to do that and all that. So about 6 weeks ago, he started looking for a job. And you know, it's hard out there, I tell you. So what we did, we positioned ourselves. We prayed. We asked God. But I tell you, being still was really tricky. And up to about week number six, and it was a six-week notice thing. And on the last week, I tell you what, I started to get really nervous. Who knows what I'm talking about? Yeah, yeah. I started to get real nervous. And I was actually going to go and take that position back from God, and I was going to take control of it. And I started thinking, so this is what I do. I started thinking, you know, actually I could go do. I was trying to figure it out. And you know, on the last day of work, Jack got a job. And I says, you know, God, you're never early. You're never quite early, is he, church? He's right to that moment. And now we've got a job. Good job. He's out there. Amen. 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 And loving the church and loving this church and growing and expanding and helping build this church. And you know what, church? This is what I'm saying. It's so easy to, when you give it over to God, that you want to go touch it and bring it back. And you're not allowed to do that. Don't do that. Because then that just disregards your position. So whatever it is, you might be looking for a husband or a wife. That's a big decision. And it's an important decision. You might be looking for something. You might need clarity. All that stuff that's in your heart, give it to God. Leave it with Him. Just wait, like you're waiting for an elevator. And then just watch Him work. He's awesome. He's awesome. Let me pray. Every eye closed. Every eye closed. I just believe the Holy Spirit's really working here this morning. I think He's working, and He's working in people. And what I don't want you to do, I don't want you to be afraid of that, but just allow Him just to work. And that work could actually look like something similar to just in your mind that someone's speaking to you in your heart. And it's also a sense of surrender, surrendering to Him. And wherever you sit, in this place, you need to know you're amongst friends. If you do not know God, if you do not know God, if you've never asked Jesus to come into your life and to be your friend, if you've never opened and surrendered your heart to God, or maybe you did that a long time ago and you know you've been playing around, you know it.